welcome to the CWF Gamecast. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt, and I want to welcome you to today's recording. You're probably noticing something a little bit different, and that is I am recording by myself. Normally, Tom Barbalay joins me, but sadly I have to announce that Tom has left the show. He has a lot of stuff on his plate, what with his books, The Field of Chaos, his Field of Chaos RPG set, and all of his podcasts and everything else that he works on. I want to thank Tom for co-hosting with me for so long and for giving me the encouragement to get this podcast back up and running. Couldn't have done it without you, Tom. I really appreciate it. And I want to say that wish Tom the best in everything he does. So, like always, I just want to give you a little bit of a heads up on what we're going to be doing in this show. As usual, we're going to be talking about my week in gaming. I have a review of Wargames, Soldiers, and Strategy magazine. Plus, I'm going to be talking about digital magazine subscriptions. I want to unveil a contest. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about some upcoming guests. So, my week in gaming. The last time you've heard from me was... Well, it's been a while since you've probably heard about my week in gaming. So I have a little bit of catching up to do. I actually played a game of Flames of War. My friend Adrian was very nice. He just created a second army, actually. It's a mechanized British force. So he has a German panzer company, and he was very nice enough to allow me to use his Germans. I played a game against him. It was about 700 points or so, I think. He was using his British. It was a good chance just for me to kind of reacquaint myself with the rules. Surprisingly enough, I won. I'm still not sure how that happened, actually. You can tell I'm a little flustered about it. I'm surprised. The forces was sort of identical, you know, a block of infantry and then tanks. And he had a block of infantry and tanks. It just so happened that, I don't know, luck of the draw, I guess. But as I was playing, I realized that I need to reread the rules, actually. It's been so long since I had played a game previously, and those of you who have been following the show and who, you know, read the blog will have seen a posting ages ago, actually, entitled, like, My First Flames of War Game or something like that. And so you will have seen some pictures and everything, but that was a long time ago. So I do need to reread the rules. I found it really helpful. I had picked up Das Book before Christmas. It's a small pocket-sized, you know, addendum, I guess I'm going to call it, to the rules. It includes all the stuff you need, like if you're going to go to a tournament or whatever, so that way you don't have to carry all the rules around. You just kind of have your army book or whatever book you got your list from. You can carry this, and you're probably all set. You probably don't need to bring a big rule book. I have the pocket edition of the rules, and that's because I purchased Flames of War way back in the day when it first came out. Flames of War 1.0, I guess you could call it. And then when they came out with the new rules, Flames of War 2.0 is what I'm going to call them, they had like this kind of deal that if you had purchased, you know, Flames of War and you wanted to get the new one, that you didn't have to pay for the rule book again, that, you know, you could bring in your old one, and then they gave you this pocket-sized one for free, and that's what I had done. I did that actually way back in the day at Danger Planet Games up in Waltham, which sadly they're not there anymore. They have closed shop, but so I had this pocket edition of the rule book, and I've been using that, and it came in handy, you know, but I've decided I actually need to save up and get the full-size hardback, the nice coffee table book of it. That'll be much easier for me to look up stuff, and then I can make better copies out of the back of, you know, things for army lists and, like, the quick reference sheet. Thankfully, Adrian had the quick reference sheet, so I was referring to that a lot in Das Book, and then he was helping me out. One thing I never can remember, and this is the same for every game I play that's like this, are all those, you know, two-hit and two-wound kind of things. Like, do I need a 3-plus for this or a 4-plus for that? Or, like, what do I need to roll for leadership or whatever? And Flames of War confuses me a little bit because basically you're doing what they call a morale check for most things. So you're looking at a certain value for that. But you do morale checks and they're using other terms for it. So you might need to do a morale check and they're calling it, you know, something, choice number one. And then you're actually doing a morale check again, but it's called choice number two because it's a different situation. For me, it would have been easier if Flames of War had just, you know, said, oh, make a morale check instead of being like, you need to do such and such, and it's really a morale check is what it is. So that took a little getting used to, and I'm going to have to get used to it some more. After I played Adrian, my friend John was there. He is I've talked about him a lot. He's fantastic is what he is. He's amazing for painting. He makes fantastic terrain. He's a good guy to play against. He's the guy who is going ahead and assembling my Flames of War stuff for me. It's not a lot of stuff. I have some BMW bikes, and he's, you know, putting my infantry on the bases for them so that I can then go ahead and paint them and do the basing, you know, with the flock or whatever I'm going to do, and then get ready and go ahead and play that. But he and I played, and we did another one, and this time he had won. So it was a good chance for me to get another game in and get a little more familiar with the rules. I felt in that second game that I was having to refer less to Das Book and to my rule book and to the, you know, quick reference guide sheets. I was kind of, you know, learning that such and such is when I take that morale check, or, you know, this is what happens when I bail out and what do I need to hit and so forth, and kind of getting some of the tactics down. So that was really cool. One other really cool thing with this game was Adrian has some great miniatures with already 15mm buildings. And these buildings are pretty cool because you basically can take them apart. They have two halves, and so you can take the top part off, for most of them anyway, to show what it would look like damaged. Or, you know, you could just set it up so that it's like a ruined kind of terrain. Or also, it's cool because if you take the top off, you can put bases of infantry on the inside. And that came in handy for me a few times. Perhaps the most important thing that I've learned by playing these games of Flames of War is that although I personally have a Panzer company, like I was using with Adrian's, and tanks are pretty cool because, I mean, they get a lot of shots, and the ones I was using were firepower 3, so if they stood still, I got 3 shots per tank and, you know, a lot of dice coming in. But that you never, ever, ever want to get your tank into close combat with infantry because the infantry will kick your butt. They're going to, you know, surround you, they're going to overwhelm you, so they're going to get more hits coming in on you most likely, and then they're going to end up killing you. That's how I had partially won in the game against Adrian, and that's how I got my butt kicked partially in the game against John. So that was a hard lesson to receive, but an important one. I know everyone over at WWPD, News from the Front, could have told me that ages ago, and I'm sure all of you who play Flames of War are thinking, oh, why would you ever get your tank in with a bunch of infantry? You should just know that it's common sense. And yeah, I guess it is, but I had to learn the hard way. Also, I got a bunch of really cool things. Court, who I've mentioned on the show before, he's the guy who gave me all of those 1/72 plastic infantry models. It turns out I think most of them are put out by Accurate, actually. But he also let me borrow a ton of, it's called the Courier. It's a special miniatures wargaming magazine. And I have one in front of me that was just really cool. I liked one particular article out of it the most. But this is from, let's see, summer of 1994. It was on sale for $5.95. And honestly, if I had done my homework before doing this recording, I could tell you if it was still in print or whatever. Sadly, I can't. But this one happens to be number 65. And as I said, it's summer of 1994. Actually, $6 for an issue. Not terrible. Although back then, you know, maybe a little bit on the higher side. It has a nice, pretty, you know, color on the front and some stuff inside obviously is black and white. But one thing that I thought was really cool, they have this article in here, and this is especially pertinent for me with all the work I've been doing because of Black Powder, but it's titled Organizing Your Painting Table, and it's by, let's see, Jay Hadley and Bob France. So they actually talk about, you know, what you should do and what materials you need for your painting table, the importance of having a permanent painting space, no matter where it is. But of course, they state that you don't really want something in the attic or in the basement because of the temperature differences. Of course, the lighting situation, they address the fact that you need to have some sort of clamp-on light because, I don't know about you guys, but when I paint, I'm painting late at night, and you're not going to have that natural light source, which is very important. So this clamp-on light allows you to do that. You get the light bulbs and go. And they include, like, this little diagram of what your painting space, they call it painting table, but you might not have a whole table for it, but what your painting space should look like. And they stress the importance of not having too many paints on the table. So if you're anything like me, you have tons and tons of paints, and you get them all going, and you're like, oh, I need this one, I need that one, or whatever. But what they really recommend, and it's a great idea, is to only keep, say, 4 or 6 or whatever paints, a very few number of them, right in front of you on the table. These are the ones that you're actively using, that you're going to be working on, that, you know, maybe you're painting trousers, like I was doing with all my American militia. Keep the paints out that you're going to be using for the trousers, and the rest, put aside. That way you have the room for, like, your rags, or you have room for you know, water to clean your brushes. You have room for your other models on the side, all that sort of stuff. It's a really good idea, and it's one that I can't stress enough. So I do have to recommend that. This article, like I said, was really, really good. If you're a painter and you probably know all this sort of stuff, you're not going to know anything terribly different from it. Another big thing in my week in gaming was, of course, the Battleground Games and Hobbies 40K Mega Battle. And I'm actually not going to talk about that now because, you know, well, I'm going to save that for later on under another section, but it's going to get talked about in an upcoming show. So that was basically my week in gaming. I've been doing a lot of, you know, like I said, the Flames of War. I've been reading this magazine. I've been working on the plastics, the 172nd that Court gave me. Actually, I've been spending some time on my Mac, but booted into Windows, playing, what is it? I'm sorry, I can't remember the name. I've been playing one of the strategy games. Medieval 2, I'm sorry. I should have been able to remember that. Anyway, I've been playing Medieval 2 and, you know, doing some of that and having a good time and just doing some reading and stuff. So nothing out of the ordinary. Let's see. I want to talk about now, actually, because that was enough time on my weekend gaming. I want to talk about now a review of War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy. Before I start my review, I have to say that this copy that I received, it's copy number issue 54. It's the first one under the I don't know what you want to call it. It came back to life, I guess. The rebirth of War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy. This one was given to me as a review copy for free by Jasper Orthoys, who is the big boss over at WSS. And he's also the big boss over at Ancient Warfare, well, the podcast in the magazine, which I hope to have a review for you soon. But I got this as a result of Jasper. Thank you very much, Jasper. I appreciate the review copy. And I got to say, without Jasper doing that, I probably wouldn't be able to do the review for you. But I picked up the magazine, and it came. And there's a little difficulty in it getting to me. For some reason, sometimes mail has a problem with, you know, making sure things get where they're supposed to be going when it comes to me. But it came, and I opened it up, and this is a gorgeous magazine. Just looking at it, it's the paper, the cover, you know, feels nice. It's smooth, vibrant pictures, nice lettering on the cover. On this one, it says it has, you know, a retail price, a newsstand price of £4.20, pence rather, I'm guessing. Obviously, if you live in other parts of the world, you're paying different rates depending on what the transition is. But this one, they're starting off nice and big. They have some articles about the Glorious Revolution, so they do some pike and shot sort of stuff. And they actually do a little bit about that for Black Powder, which is one of the things that hit me the most that I liked. But I'm just kind of flipping over the magazine. And the pages, they're huge. I think this is larger than most, no, maybe it's the same size. It seemed larger to me than the standard American publication. But what I liked quite a few things about this, actually. One of the things I like the most is it starts off, and, you know, they do this whole little blurb about, oh, you know, we're back, and we have this rebirth, and all this and that and stuff. But they do some reviews on models. You know, we like this, we don't like that, or whatever. And they review a bunch of cool things. They review Bolt Action, Warlord Games, and Gripping Beast, and, like, Plastic Soldier, and just all sorts of different companies like that. The Perrys, of course. And on these, they tended to break each page. They cut it in half, basically. So you have the top part with one company and the bottom with another. The pictures are all color. They're nice and clear. Everything, it pops, and they give you, you know, their review, and it's basically a few paragraphs for most of them, but how they separate it out so that you don't have just, like, this block of text, you have some sort of visual and block of text, and then another visual and block of text, or, you know, they break it up different ways. It plays really well to allowing you to get a good glimpse of the models, to see what they look like, and at the same time, to go ahead and, you know, read about it, and see what you think. So, that was really cool. There was a great column in here that I absolutely adored. It was very fun to read, and it was by Rick Priestley. So it was nice to see him having something in here because, as you know, I've been kind of fascinated by Black Powder lately, and he wrote that, and of course he did Hail Caesar, He's a former GW guy and all sorts of stuff. So I'm a fan of Priestley. And it was just interesting to see what he wrote. I remember once some of the GW bigwigs would write these columns in White Dwarf. And it kind of made me think of that. I really loved when they did that in the White Dwarf. So I'm hoping this continues. The magazine has a scenario in it where you deal with assassinating the Roman Emperor Caligula, which is really cool. The advertising in it is nice. It's not over the top. It fits in. They're not, like, chewing your face with it. They have some interviews, some more scenarios. They actually have a scenario for, like, the Vikings. And I like that they tied that in with books to read. As you guys know, I work in a library. I'm a bibliophile. I love books. So they did, like, this follow-up article, which really, it just worked well with me. And they talk about some books that would deal well with, you know, the Vikings and the Saxons and the Dark Ages and all that. And, of course, they touch on one of my favorite authors, Bernard Cornwell, who actually lives here in Massachusetts. He lives down in the Cape. So they talked about a couple of his series. One deals with King Arthur. And then another is his, Saxon saga, which has a bunch of them out. So they just kind of talked about those a little bit and how, you know, it could be inspiration for you to, you know, you could gain what's in these books. You could create your own scenarios, your own tabletop teasers, or whatever. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a cool way to kind of go. Then they spent a huge portion of it on the Glorious Revolution, the Pike and Shot, which, I mean, that was front and center, top of the cover of the magazine. Clearly, that's what they considered the most important article in here. So they spent lots and lots of that, and it was interesting to read. They had some nice historical background, fantastic pictures. I mean, the color photographs on this thing pop. It's perfect. It really is. Some helpful maps and everything when they talk about how you could game this using the black powder rules. I love black powder. They give you a little bit of background. It all flowed really well. There's this really good how-to article, actually, on creating a diorama dealing with, you know, this pike and shot stuff. And so they show you step-by-step how they painted them and what you got to do. And then one of the things I really like, they use some of that artificial water stuff on the base. And so a portion of it deals with that because I've never used it, but I know people who have, and people aren't really sure what to do with artificial water and how to use it. I think what they use, it's called still water, I think. So they kind of explain how they did it. And one of the cool things was they say how they had this base, and it's a large base. It's not just like a base for one model. They fit four guys on horseback and then like this wounded guy plus the space around them. But it's a riverbed, so they wanted water. So what they did was they wrapped it around using some sort of tape. And then, unfortunately, it seeped out of the tape. So they had to redo it. And it was nice to see that, you know, they're explaining, well, this is what you can do. And that, you know, we might make a mistake, but so will you. And this is how you address it. Not this is how it looks perfect all the time. And it just always comes out this way. Because as you and I know, that's not the truth. Far too often, you know, you do stuff and it just doesn't happen how you want it to. So that was really cool. They had some playtest roles to do for World War II kind of thing. Another column. And then one thing I loved, it was a section on terrain. Snake fencing, by two people I adore, John and Diane Sutherland. I've talked about them actually quite a bit with Henry Hyde in the previous episode you would have heard. And I just love all the stuff they do. They make all this terrain because they have, you know, their War Games Holiday Center over on the island of Crete. And it's fantastic. They have wonderful pictures. John takes fantastic pictures. Two thumbs up to you, John. The pictures make a difference. They're very, very, very helpful. And I may not have said it before, but the Sutherlands are one of the reasons why I subscribe to Battlegrounds, and one of the reasons why I really enjoyed this magazine as well, WS&S. The magazine, like I said, it's really good. I think it's good value for the money. It's 74 pages. It's all full color. Tons of eye candy. There's enough advertising so you can see stuff that maybe you might want to buy or other things you might want to subscribe to or books to read or whatever, but it's not too in your face. There's plenty of content for what you're getting. And, I mean, the prices for this one issue is £4.20. I'm assuming that's pence. It's not a bad price. I actually did some research for you guys, and I looked up online to see how much things cost. And this is actually going to tie into my discussion of magazine digital subscriptions. But if you're interested in subscribing to this, and I have to give it two thumbs up, It costs $48.39 for 1 year, and then you have to pay postage on top of that. So if you're here in the U.S. like me, postage costs you $9.03. If you're in Europe or the U.K., it's $4.69. But if you live in the Netherlands, because this is based in the Netherlands, then they're not charging you anything for postage. So that's something to keep in mind. Again, these are all for subscription costs, and they do other deals if you want to subscribe for 2 years or a short subscription or whatever. I think it's worth it. As a result of Jasper giving it to me and me reading it and me just, I fell in love with it. I ended up subscribing to it. But I didn't do a regular subscription, and I'm going to talk about that when I talk about digital subscriptions. I do need to say, yes, this was a review copy. Yes, as a result of that, I got it for free. Again, thank you, Jasper. That did not influence, you know, my opinion of it. Because there were a couple things that I was not a huge fan of. For example, I really enjoyed the article about, you know, how you could get inspiration for the Dark Age from a book like ones by Bernard Cornwell. But I felt like, you know, it was a little light in that regard, that they didn't have a whole lot. The magazine feels a little busy. There's all sorts of different topics, and some of it, you know, I don't know if they're giving as much depth to. The cover, you know, the Glorious Revolution, they spent quite a few pages on. But then some of the other stuff, not as much pages. So, I don't know. I would have liked maybe a little more detail on some stuff. And then, does the magazine really need two columns? I don't know. They obviously were trying to do it big. It's the first issue they come back. I'm very happy they came back. I've never read any of the other ones, but this one wowed me. Like I said, I loved it enough that I actually subscribed and spent my own money to go ahead and subscribe it. And one thing my family would always say is, you know, whether it was we went out to eat somewhere, or, you know, someone bought something or whatever, they would always ask me, do you like it enough that you would spend your own money on it? Because they know that I'm very careful on what I spend my money on. So if I'm spending my money on something, then it gets my stamp of approval. So War Game Soldiers and Strategy, a great magazine. It's added to my repertoire of gaming magazines that I subscribe to. And I just really liked it. It's, I mean, if nothing else, it's fantastic eye candy. Everything looks great. And there's some good stuff in here. Some great scenarios for you to trial, rules to read about. There's reviews of books, reviews of products, you know, all sorts of stuff. So it's definitely worth your time. I suggest you go ahead and find it. I believe it will be in bookstores. I'm not 100% positive about that. If nothing else, you can go online and you can go ahead to WSSmagazine, I believe it is, .com. And then you can get more information about it over there. Plus, you can find out how to subscribe. You can buy individual issues. Plus, you can also buy some of the back issues of it from before the relaunch. So it's just kind of cool. They have, you know, a little bit of this and that, some all sorts of stuff. They get a blog up there. It's worth going on. So I got to say, I recommend it. And I'm actually hoping that maybe I could perhaps get Jasper and or Guy Bowers, who's an editor over there, to perhaps be guests on this show. If you would like to hear them on the show, I suggest that you let me know, because then I can send them an email and say, hey, guys, look at all these people who want to hear you on my show, and maybe they'll come. Can't promise, but I'm hoping. So that is my coverage, well, my review, rather, of WSS, which is War Game Soldiers and Strategy magazine. Jasper, thank you again for sending it, and I'm really happy this is up and running. It's very cool, and it's nice to have another independent magazine out there that covers, you know, gaming topics, so that was pretty sweet. In the same line of discussion, I want to talk about magazine digital subscriptions. And in particular, I want to talk about WSNS or WSS. And I want to talk about Battle Games Magazine. And then I want to talk about one other magazine called War Games Illustrated. So I want to start off by saying that I am a subscriber, a digital subscriber, in fact, to Battle Games Magazine. Battle Games, as you might know, is a sometimes prize sponsor for our show here. But as with anyone and anything, that doesn't get you any sort of preferential treatment. So I subscribed because Tom, way back in the day, had talked them up and said, oh, you know, this is a really cool magazine. You got to try them. They're this and that and stuff. And I was like, okay, yeah. And, you know, it went in my head and it kind of hung around. And I was like, well, I read so much. Am I really going to do anything with that? And then, you know, I went to their website and I subscribed because it was really cool. And Henry had sent us, you know, like a free issue or whatever, electronically to read. And I was like, that's pretty cool. It was easy to do. Read it on the iPad. And I thought, you know, I'll go ahead and I'll do it because it wasn't, it's not a whole lot of money. And I liked what I saw and all sorts of different stuff. I liked how, I just liked a lot about it. But again, this is in a review of them. So it was really cool that they have it as a digital subscription, because I got to say, if they only had it as a regular subscription for a hard copy, I would not have subscribed to Battle Games. And I mean, I love Battle Games, like Henry and a lot, but do you know what? I can't afford to be spending what is charged for that for a hard copy. I can't do it. Plus, at the same time, I do most of my reading at night while my wife is sleeping, and I don't want to, you know, wake her up with the light on or whatever. So I'm reading on the iPad or, you know, an e-reader. I have a BN Nook Color. So I'm reading on one of those, and they're backlit. So they have their own light going on and everything. So I need it digitally. Plus, you know, space is an issue where I'm at. I can't be having stacks of magazines all over the place. I can have them all electronically, get them on my e-reader, get them on a computer. That makes them so portable. I can have tons of issues with me. With Battle Games, I had subscribed. Henry actually gave us a copy of the Motherload, which was fantastic. It's all the issues, all his back issues. So I was working my way up through them and, you know, reading them as I waited for new issues to come out. I couldn't have done that if I had the physical copy. So I'm really excited that Henry has it for Battle Games Magazine. And it was amazing. When I got War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy, one of the things I asked Jasper was if they were going to be doing any sort of digital subscription. And they must have had it planned out beforehand, but honestly, I didn't see it until after I asked him about it, and after he said, oh yeah, go online now and find it. I'm not saying it's there because of me, but I'm saying I didn't find it until after I asked about it. So War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy has, you know, a digital subscription, and like the digital subscription for Battle Games, it's cheaper for the digital than it is for the hard copy. I think that just makes common sense. And, you know, again, with WSNS, I wouldn't have subscribed if there wasn't a digital subscription for it. If it was only a hard copy subscription, I would not have done it. For the same reasons as Battlegrounds. The fact that it's portable, the fact that I can get it on the iPad, or I could read it on any other e-reader, the fact that it takes up less space, the fact that I read at night when my wife's sleeping, and I don't want to be disturbing her. So backlit, you know, on my device, and I'm doing that. Plus, a cool thing, at least with the iPad anyway, you can zoom in on the stuff. So if maybe, you know, the way you're holding your device and the layout isn't working out for you or whatever, or maybe you just need to zoom in because you want a close look at, you know, the picture or whatever it is, the chat or something, you flick your finger and you're zoomed in and you can pinch again and then you can zoom out or whatever. It's just so much easier than being like, okay, I got my magazine, let me go ahead and get like my magnifying device and put it over and look and see what that is. So I think having digital subscriptions is really cool for these, because the hobby's graying, and lots of people have been talking about that. You know, wherever you go, they're saying, oh, the graying of the hobby. And, you know, 15, 20 years ago, people were saying, oh, the hobby is graying. It hasn't changed. But what has changed is that you don't have to be ashamed of the fact that if your eyesight's not what it used to be, and you're wanting to be getting really close-up looks of these things, that you don't have to be squinting and turning your head sideways and using a magnifying glass or whatever sort of thing to be getting a good look, that if you have this digital subscription, you can just zoom in, and it's clear as day. You can see whatever you need to see, whether it's a word or a picture or something, and it's perfect. Plus, you know, as I talked about with Henry in my interview, he mentioned that his magazine is very, you know, in-depth, that it gets you thought-provoking. So there might be words that you don't know or topics, or maybe they're referencing something. With a digital subscription, if you're reading it on your computer, notebooks and netbooks and laptops are the number one e-readers right now here in America. But if you're reading on that, or an e-reader, or an iPad, or, you know, other sort of tablet computer, all of these things have built-in functionality for dictionaries. You can make yourself notes on there. Or, you know, if you're doing it on a computer or a tablet computer or something like that, you can then just go ahead, hop on the web, and look up something, whether you need to go to Wikipedia or you want something more scholarly or whatever it is. Or maybe, you know, you read about something, a product, and you want to go and buy it because you saw a review in War Games, Soldiers, and Strategy or Battle Games Magazine or, you know, whatever. And you say, oh, I really want to get that product because so-and-so in this magazine said it's fantastic. You can just go ahead, if you're on your computer or an iPad or whatever, and you can go on to the website and you can place an order for it. Or you can send an email to your local friend, local game store, and tell them that, hey, there's this thing you saw and you'd like to get it, could they special order it for you? It makes it very easy to do that, whereas if you have the hard copy, there's all these extra steps involved with something like that. So digital subscriptions are amazing. Now, what I don't understand is Wargames Illustrated, no digital subscription. What's up, guys? I mean, seriously. Battlefront has been doing fantastic things digitally. They release all sorts of, you know, intelligence reports, army lists, updates, errata, all that sort of stuff, all for free on their website as PDF downloads. They're huge with all of that. I don't understand it. If they can do that, and they own Wargames Illustrated, why can't they get Wargames Illustrated to have a digital subscription? If Wargames Illustrated had a digital sub, I tell you here and now, I would buy it. Because I like Wargames Illustrated a lot. I know it gets a lot of flack from other people because of perceived lack of independence since Battlefront owns it. But again, I come from this whole GW metric where I don't have a problem with the company owning a magazine. It's not an issue for me. But it might be an issue for you, and you know I understand that. But I'm not paying, you know, $8.50 per issue for me to go to the newsstand every single time, for me to go to my friendly local game store every single time, pay $8.50 for this magazine, or what is it, a regular subscription for this thing, for a hard copy, is something like $96. I'm not spending almost $100 for this magazine when I'm not going to be able to read it when I need to. I'm not going to be able to bring it with me wherever I'm going, or a whole stack of them. I'm not going to be able to go ahead and easily, you know, look up things that they reference or buy products that they're talking about. It's not working for me. So I'm sorry, Battlefront. I'm sorry, Wargames Illustrated. But, you know, you're not going to have me as a customer unless you get a digital sub. With all the stuff going on nowadays of people, you know, moving everywhere and being portable and everything, I would think it's a no-brainer to get this digital subscription going. And I really don't understand why there's not one yet for them. They have these cool things, you know, you go on their website and you can do a subscription for it. And you can get it where you can either get some Flames of War stuff, or you can get it where they have like these historical, you know, diorama kind of things that you can paint and assemble or whatever. Or you can get it with like a free slipcase to put them in. And those are all cool. And I mean, it's a pretty good value. Like the Flames of War things, I think you get one or two boxes plus the magazine. And it's $96. And that's not bad because the box is like $15 to $20 each, I think. There's value there, but for me, it's not worth it because my motivation isn't to get it for the Flames of War stuff. My motivation to get it would be because I like the magazine, and that's what your motivation should be too. You should be like, oh, I'm going to subscribe, spend $96 for this magazine to get, you know, like a $30 item. Well, just go to your game store and buy it. Buy that product that you want. Buy the model, whatever it is, and not be like, oh, I'm going to subscribe so I then get that. Again, I don't understand, and I actually, you know, before I started doing this recording today, I did a little research as to the pricing for subscriptions for these things, and, you know, what you save and everything. Since Wargames Illustrated doesn't do a digital, I only have, you know, some data for them. But looking at digital subscriptions, Battle Games Magazine, a digital subscription is 14 British pounds, and then all these, you know, foreign currencies, I use this website, it's called xe.com. And I use their currency converter to, you know, put it into American dollars. So it might not be exactly what you're actually paying, what the actual, you know, conversion rate is, whatever. But it's good enough for our purposes. So Battle Games Magazine, a digital subscription, is 14 British pounds. And that comes out to approximately $22.91 American, or say $23. Now, Wargames Soldiers and Strategy, a digital subscription, $25.93. That's with, you know, the instant delivery to your computer, to your device, whatever it is, as in, you know, an Adobe PDF file. It's readable on almost all sorts of things. $25.93 for the WSS and $22.91, roughly $23, say, for Battle Games. Now, if you're looking at, you know, a traditional subscription where you get the thing mailed to you, it's the full magazine, the hard copy or whatever, Battle Games Magazine, it's 54 British pounds. That includes postage, which is important. And this is the price for the rest of the world. It's cheaper if you live in the UK, and it's cheaper if you live in Europe. So if you're one of those, if you're a resident of one of those areas, you are going to spend less. But I'm giving prices, you know, for here in America, North America, because, hey, I live in America, and chances are some of you guys do too. So Battle Games Magazine, 54 British pounds, which is equivalent to $88.37 in American dollars. So figure like $88. Wargames Illustrated, $96. Again, you get the other stuff with it, but, you know, whatever. And then War Games Soldiers and Strategy, it's $48.39. But then if you live here in America, it's an extra $9 and change for postage. So it ends up becoming $57.41 for the hard copy. Now, out of the three of those, you're looking at, well, you know, WI War Games Illustrated is the most expensive. It's almost $100. Battle Games Magazine, it's, you know, the next high. It's at the, like, $88. And then WSNS is the cheapest out of them at, like, $57. So if you're looking just at the pricing and not at what you're getting, you might think WSS, best buy. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it isn't. You might say War Games Illustrated, the worst buy. Again, not saying it is. Not saying it isn't. These are just, you know, the facts I have. Now, as far as savings go, if you buy the digital subscription as opposed to the traditional subscription, as I said, War Games Illustrated does not have a digital. You should. So if anyone from War Games Illustrated or Battlefront is listening to this, or anyone who is knows anyone over there, please, you know, send them an email, get in touch with them, go to the Flames War website, and ask them, guys, why don't you have a digital subscription for War Games Illustrated? Because, you know, it would be cool. But Battle Games Magazine, you're saving approximately $65 and change, which is a 75% savings if you buy that digital subscription. And War Games Soldiers and Strategy, you're saving $31 and change, which is a 55% discount if you buy the digital. So what is this telling us? And I know that was a little dry with all the numbers and stuff, but basically it's telling us not only are you getting the same content, not only is it portable, not only does it take less space, not only are you able to use it anywhere, anytime, not only can you do more with it, but you're getting it for a significantly lower price. Digital subscriptions are the way to go. I don't care whether you're reading Battle Games, whether you're reading War Games Soldiers and Strategy, or you're reading some other magazine out there, whatever it is, see if they have a digital subscription. Think about doing that because, you know, they're still counting it as part of their subscription, so it's helping them out. It's still helping them with the advertisers for all that. It's, by going to a digital sub, you don't have to worry that because you're converting from a traditional to a digital subscription that your favorite magazine is going to go the way of the dodo. It's not. If anything, you're going to help them out because it costs a lot of money for printing. And if they have to spend tons of money on the printing, then maybe they can't do as much. If they're doing digital, they probably have less costs as a result of the digital. So maybe they can do magazine come out more often. Maybe they can put more stuff in it, more content or whatever. I know Battle Games, for at least one issue, they just had so much extra advertising for it that they expanded the number of pages in the issue so that you got even more from it. And just think, you know, if Battle Games or any of these magazines, War Games Soldiers Strategy or War Games Illustrated or whoever is able to keep their costs down as a result of doing a digital sub, it's a good thing. Because they're not going to charge the same. They're going to pass those costs on to you. And, I mean, how can you lose? It's a win-win there. So, as you can tell, I'm a strong advocate and a strong fan of digital subscriptions. Like I said, I would not have bought subscriptions to Battle Games or War Games Soldiers and Strategy unless they had digital subs. And I'm glad they do because I'm very happy. There is one caveat. Since I got WSNS, I got it as a hard copy. I did not get it as a digital. The digital sub starts with the next issue. So issue 55, as far as I know, has not been released. And I've not actually used WSS as a digital, you know, sub, as a PDF. I've done all of my reading of Battle Games Magazine, BG Magazine, as a digital. And I love it. I wouldn't go back any other way. I was not someone who was really looking to get into e-readers to, you know, have e-books or any of that kind of stuff. I love having the physical book in my hand, but at the same time, I've grown to love this e-format, this digital format, so I do highly recommend it. Now I'm going to get off my soapbox, and I want to talk about our podcast contest. You're thinking podcast contest? Well, as a result of Tom leaving, we have to rename our show. Because Monty and the Fox works if there's two of us here, and, well, it's me. So we are doing another contest, another Name Our Podcast contest. And what we're going to do here is we want you to email us at cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com, or you can leave a comment on our blog, which is wargamingforums.com, or you can post on our Facebook page or on our Twitter account. And send us a message with your suggestions for names for our podcast. Something, you know, that fits what we're doing, something that you like, whatever. We'll take as many names as you want to give us. Only one person is going to win the contest. And you're thinking, well, okay, well, what am I going to win? Well, like before, we're going to give you a t-shirt when t-shirts are made with the new name of the show. We're going to have that going. I'm going to give you some digital downloads. I'm going to give you a nice little prize basket, actually, is what I'm going to do. Plus, I'm going to throw in a t-shirt from the TotalCon from this year. And there'll be a few other odds and ends as they make their way in. So we'll see what happens with that. Right now, there's no deadline. We're just going to have this going as an ongoing one until we find something that we're going to use. Because, I mean, CWF Gamecast is working, but I'm sure there's a better name out there, and I'm sure one of you has that better idea. So if you'd like to enter, please do. I would be very grateful. And then I want to talk about upcoming guests. So as those of you who've been listening know, I just did an interview with Henry Hyde. He's the editor and owner of Battle Games Magazine. He's a fantastic guy, but he's not the last of our guests on here. We've been doing all sorts of guests. We've had Neil Shook on a bunch of times. Like I said, Henry's been on. Stephen McLaughlin of WWPD News from the Front. We've had my friend Drew McCarthy on. All sorts of people. Well, we have a lot of other individuals lined up to appear on the show, and some of them are going to be coming on pretty soon, really. The next individuals who should be coming on are Derek Lloyd and Chase Lacordara. Derek is the owner of Battleground Games and hobbies both the Abington and the Plainville locations, and he's also a longtime D&D role player. Chase is the manager of the Plainville location of Battleground Games and Hobbies, and he's also an avid D&D role player. So they're going to be on the show. This is actually going to be really, really cool, because I'm going to be doing a joint interview of them with my friend Drew McCarthy, and we're going to be doing this for both of our shows, for his show, The Gate Stormers, and here for the CWF Gamecast. And as far as I know, we're going to be recording at Derek's house, which should be really cool. We're going to talk about all sorts of things. We're going to talk about D&D. We're going to talk about, you know, Battleground Games and hobbies. And we're going to talk about the 40K Mega Battle. So that's why I didn't want to talk about it in this show. Plus, the 40K Mega Battle, it's kind of a show in its own, and I really wanted to talk about these magazines and do that review of WSNS. So that's going to be coming up. I'm really looking forward to that. That's probably going to be at least an hour, I'm guessing, right there. They're great guys. I've known them for a long time, and it's going to be fantastic. Speaking of Drew is going to be coming back. He's going to be a recurring guest for me since I am here by my lonesome. I am hoping to have people come and be, you know, guests on the show. It's more interesting if there's someone else than just myself for you guys to listen to, and I like chatting with people. I like, you know, learning about all new sorts of new stuff. So if someone's an expert in the field of whatever it is, or, you know, doing something really cool, I want to hear from you. And then if you're interested, I'd like to have you on the show. Drew's going to be doing that. Drew and I will be talking about all sorts of New England gaming content and what's going on here in New England, New Massachusetts, things going on at BG, all that sort of stuff. It's a little more casual when he's on, which is kind of cool. So hopefully that's something you're going to like. I do have to warn you, though, that when Drew's on, Drew's not a historical gamer. So if you're listening to this because you're a historical gamer, and chances are you are a historical gamer or you're interested in history, because, you know, that's what we're doing. This is a historical gaming podcast that, you know, you might not love what we're going to talk about when he's on. But I hope you give it a try, because he's a great guy. We have a good time. Like I said, we'll talk about all sorts of stuff such as, you know, D&D. He and I are in a monthly D&D game, and there'll be all sorts of cool stuff to talk about with that. So Drew will be a recurring guest. Plus, Henry Hyde has said he wants to come back on the show. Neil Shook wants to be back on the show. So going to be chatting with both of them. I'm really excited because Neil and I haven't actually done an interview. Tom did both of the shows with them, and I did one with Henry. But Henry said he's going to turn the tables on me because, as you know, the last one, Henry and I chatted, but I let him run with the ball. So he said he's going to throw the ball on my court and start asking me a lot of questions. I'll be in the hot seat when he's back on. Also, let's see who else. There's so many people. I'm sorry. Dean Emerson and some of the guys from the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. These are the people who run HuzzahCon. They're going to be on the show. It's going to be it's going to be like a group thing. I'm going to be chatting with Dean and a bunch of them. I don't even know who else is going to be there, but he's going to round up some guys. We'll get together. We'll talk, you know, historical gaming. We'll probably talk about Huzzah, maybe how it got started, you know, the types of gaming they do, how they gear up for the cons, and all sorts of stuff. One thing about them, actually, I have to say, is they were in a few of the issues, or maybe it was just online, of War Games Illustrated. Leading up to Huzzah this year, they talked about, you know, building up to the big event, the Viking Dawn event, which was the big gaming table at the con. And if you've seen pictures on a blog of Huzzah, and hopefully you have, you know, worldgamingforums.com, you will have seen them there. So hopefully we can get him to talk about that and talk about writing for War Games Illustrated and all that sort of stuff. Dean's a great guy, and I also have to give a big thanks to Dean. And actually, speaking of him, we have a giveaway I want to talk about, but big thanks to him because of a giveaway we're going to do. In addition, I'm sorry, there's a lot of people who are going to be on the show coming up. Adam McLaughlin, he's been on the list for the longest time to be on the show, and I don't know, we've both been busy, just it hasn't happened, and he recently became a father. He has a beautiful baby girl, very healthy baby girl, so it's going to be a little bit of time before he can get on, but we're hoping to get him on as soon as we can. He's the owner of Imperium Star Games, the creator of the SideQuest line of Dungeons & Dragons 4th Ed Adventures, found on DriveThruRPG. He was really nice because in the past he let us have copies of that to give away as prizes for stuff, for contests. Again, another big thank you to Adam. Plus, Luke Millia from WWPD, News on the Front, will be on the show. We're working out exactly when, but he's going to talk about, you know, Flames of War. We'll get him to talk about WWPD and talk about what it's really like to work with Stephen McLaughlin. And speaking of Stephen, he's going to be on the show as well. And as those of you who listen to WWPD know, and those of you who listen to previous episodes of the show know, Stephen and his wife are expecting a baby. So we're very excited for that. He's going to have some reinforcements on the way. It'd be nice for him to have, you know, a little gamer floating around. And then lastly, but not least, we have my friend Shane Froebel, who is due to be on the show. I'm not really sure how we're going to work this out, though, because right now he's going for his doctorate in, you know, something like computer science or whatever. But he's the lead designer and programmer for the Battlestar Wiki and Frack Media Productions LLC, co-developer of the Woopra plugin for WordPress. He's a WordPress developer, a Tribes 2 scripter, and he's a blogger. As those of you, of course, should know, the Battlestar Wiki is owned by Frack Media. I volunteer my spare time as the PR coordinator for Battlestar Wiki, which is owned by Frack Media. And you may recall that our very first interview here on the show was with J. Joe James Bodwin, who is the owner and CEO of Frack Media Productions, which owns a Battlestar Wiki. So that was way back on episode 42. And, you know, here we are. We're getting our way almost up to episode 60, which is very exciting. So you might want to go back and listen to that episode with Joe. But, you know, we have guests who are going to be coming back. We're going to be getting some new guests. I'm really looking forward to getting Martin Kearney on the show. Talk about all sorts of stuff. He has some cool gaming things going on over in Ireland. And he gave me actually the names of some people to get in touch with, to perhaps be on the show. We get some other people who are interested, and we're just going to kind of work some stuff out. So that should be really cool. In addition to our Name Our Podcast contest, where, you know, you can win a t-shirt and some other stuff, we're doing a giveaway. So I had mentioned that Dean Emerson is the person who made this giveaway possible, and he gave me some t-shirts from Huzzah. And he actually told me that there were very few t-shirts left, and he gave me all but one of the t-shirts. So that makes this the very last place you can go to get a Huzzah 2011 t-shirt. They simply do not exist. Sorry for that noise, I'm just flipping some paper. But they simply do not exist anywhere else in the world. If you do not already have one and you want one, this is the only way you're going to get it. So to celebrate, you know, our whole new adventure that we're doing everything, the new way we're doing it, and the fact that I'm solo casting and all these guests we're going to be having, and to celebrate historical gaming and all sorts of stuff, and the fact that Dean was nice enough to give us these shirts, giving them away. First five people, that's right, five. First five people who email me, cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com, wins a free Huzzah 2011 Viking Dawn t-shirt. Now, I need to let you know, there's very limited sizes, and right now I have one double XL, and I have, the rest are all larges. So hopefully you either need a double XL or a large. So if you're interested and you want this, you don't have to do anything other than email me and just say, hey, you know, could I please have my free Huzzah 2011 Viking Dawn t-shirt? And make sure you send me your mailing address and send me your size that you want. right now, my choices are, there's only one double XL, so the first person who wants a double XL, who gets in touch with me, you get that. Everyone else, I'm sorry. And the rest are larges. Like I said, there's only very few sizes of that, and that actually holds true, too, for the podcast contest. I mentioned about giving away, you know, a TotalCon t-shirt. I only have certain sizes in that, and unfortunately, I don't have the sizes in front of me, but, you know, send me your size for that, and I will let you know if we have it, and if we don't, maybe we can find a size that works. I believe that, you know, we're getting near the end of the show is what I believe. This has almost been an hour. It's flown by. I know it's not the same just having me here by myself chatting with all of you, but I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're going to stick around and listen to us with our future shows. Like I said, we have good stuff coming up. We have guests coming on. We're going to keep on talking about Black Powder. We're going to keep on talking about Flames of War. We're going to talk about War at Sea again. That's a game you haven't heard about in a while. We're going to be doing more reviews. I'm actually going to be doing a review of Battle Games Magazine number 26 in the next show, the show after maybe. So that'll be coming out. And then we're going to be talking about more stuff going on locally, more gaming events. This is going to be a gaming day up at the Hobby Bunker in Malden in August, I believe. They're going to be doing some of the stuff that was at Huzzah. The Boston-trained Bands War Games Club is going to be running the Battle of Alesti again, so I'm hoping to get up there to play in that because I love Black Powder and I want to get more exposure. Mike Payne, who is amazing. Mike, you're just a great guy. I can't say enough about you. He ran that, you know, pirate game that I played in up there, the Battle for the Sulu Sea. That was a lot of fun. He's going to be doing a zombie game at this game day at the Hobby Bunker. So I'm hoping to be able to play in that and, you know, see the people that I saw at Huzzah and see some, make new friends, re-acquaint myself with some friends who I haven't seen in a little while, and just kind of get out and get to know about people and do some, you know, podcasting on the scene. Something I got to do at the Mega Battle, and I'm actually going to release some of that audio hopefully soon. So I'm hoping to do, you know, just some more live podcasting on the scene for stuff, and it should be pretty cool. So I want to thank all of you for listening. I look forward to talking with you again soon. As always, you can send, you know, your comments and feedback and stuff. So thank you, and as always, keep on gaming.
Coming up next is the Music to Game By segment in the CWF Gamecast. Please stay tuned. We'll be back after this song.
say, Major, what on earth are you doing?
It's this blooming issue of Battle Games. It appears to be wearing some kind of futuristic armor. Pass me the can opener so I can try to get it out.
No, no, Major. That is an iPad.
Good Lord, man, don't be daft. It'll never fit under me monocle.
No, Major. The iPad is just another device you can use to read Battle Games magazine, because it's available in digital form as well as on paper.
Digital? What's that? A magazine with fingers? Well, there's still too much newfangled stuff in here. All these tanks and Blitzkrieg Commander and plastic now. They seem to be condoning the replacement of good old-fashioned lead. This is outrageous.
Yes, but there's still plenty of good old-school content as well, like command challenges and even a smattering of Spencer Smith's, what?
Yes, true, and those maps are first-rate. And I've read some excellent book reviews, and articles comparing rule sets, and how to make things, and interviews with some jolly interesting chaps. Well, I've got to admit, I've been converted, so get me a pigeon, I need to place an order.
Converted? Excellent, Major. Committed, more like. Come and visit the website at www.battlegames.co.uk, where you can find the magazine on paper for instant digital download or even on CD, so you can simply choose whatever suits you best. You could be downloading and reading your very first issue of Battle Games in just a matter of minutes, so why not give it a try? Battle Games, the spirit of wargaming.
In 1775, it was the shot heard round the world, and the revolution was on. Today, it's the podcasts being heard all around the world, and the revolution is on. Listen to some of the finest podcasts in the world at newenglandpodcasting.com. New England Podcasting. The revolution is on.
The CWF Gamecast is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Axis and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com. And contest sponsor, Battle Games Magazine, the spirit of wargaming, available at fine hobby shops throughout the United Kingdom and beyond. Subscribe online at www.battlegames.co.uk. This recording is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 3.0 license. Look for the CWF Gamecast online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.